Rat.
Rose.
No.
Star Trek fans, and welcome back to Warp Trails. This is the RetroZap Podcast Network show devoted to Star Trek. I'm your host, Beth Keithley, and with me as always is my husband, co-host, and most favorite Star Trek fan, Dennis.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Tonight we are discussing the final episode of Season 2 of Star Trek Picard, which was called Farewell. Dennis, before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. It was written by Christopher Monfett and Akiva Goldsman, directed by Michael Weaver.
Yes. So the Europa mission is about to launch. The gang splits up to make sure that happens. Tallinn and Picard deal with Sung and the two Rene mystery, while Rios, Raffi, and Seven handle Sung's plan B. Sung is defeated by both our gang and Corey, who sets off on her own future. Back at the chateau, Q and Picard talk and say their goodbyes. Q sends everyone but Rios back, where they meet Queen Girardi, who needs Federation help to save the sector. The Borg are going to be the new guardians at the gate of a transwarp conduit that just appeared, and Picard goes back to Laris. I am sure before the end of this episode, we will talk specifically about your feelings on season two as a whole, but what did you think about this episode specifically?
I liked it. I really feel like it was about only about 10% conclusion and something like, 10-20% conclusion and 89% epilogue when it comes down to it, which is fine. It seems to potentially set up the next season of Picard. Broke my heart a little bit. That doesn't look like we're going to have a Captain Rios on the Stargazer series after all. But still, no, I liked it. How about you?
I liked it quite a bit. It was one of those episodes where if you paused and thought about anything that was happening too much, it sort of kind of fell apart on you. That's not fair. It didn't fall apart, but you were like, wait, I have questions. But that's okay. I enjoyed it very much. I actually enjoyed how they dealt with the Queen Girardi issue and that whole thing at the end much more than I was afraid I might at the beginning.
Okay.
But we will just do this in order and talk about the two Rene problem. So There was shape-shifting. We were not wrong.
Yes. Yeah, and okay, but when I was rewatching this ahead of this discussion, and I had another issue. Why didn't Tallinn just do the mind takeover thing with Soong that she did when we first met her, and she was controlling all those people to protect herself and her identity? I mean, wouldn't that have been a more effective way that no one had to die? I don't know. That's just the kind of is there a reason she couldn't do that? I'm a little unclear.
So that goes to my point. There are all these times we are going to talk about a thing and we're going to be like, I don't know why they didn't do that. Like, I don't know if like the Jedi mind trick, Sung is too aware of what's going on in order to be possessed. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we knew there was going to be something to that here. And of course it sets up this opportunity for Picard to then get the last bit of advice from Q about being freed from the shackles of his past, and it helps pave the way for him to reconnect with Laris at the end of the episode. I don't know. I'm still not entirely convinced any of that was necessary. I mean, why couldn't, again, you know, other option, why couldn't she, Tallinn just transported Rene to the launch site or whatever the situation be once she revealed herself? I'm not certain I get why she had to die, why that was absolutely necessary, other than to trick Soong, and tricking Soong didn't really seem to be something that had to be done to achieve the aims of this episode. But it is what it is. It eliminated the possibility that we're all going to be speculating that Tallinn was actually Laris at some point in the future. So
yeah, I think that's what it was designed to do, sort of. And the, like, okay, well, is Picard going to be with Tallinn, or is Picard going to be a Laris? And is Laris what's the pronoun there? Tallinn and Laris, same person, different people. So I think that was kind of why they had to do it. I also think they probably needed to do it so that, I actually really liked that interchange with Talon and Picard, where she says, you know, my fate's not up to you to decide. Like, I understand why you're being this way, but I don't need rescuing. And, you know, went off and did her own thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that was supposed to be the, you know, Picard learning his lessons. You know, the fact that he let her, and I'm using air quotes there, go off and do what she felt needed to be done.
Yeah. And this is kind of getting into the epilogue aspect of the episode I was talking about, because they did what they needed to do. They saved the future by getting Renee into space. But then there was this whole learning his lesson and him seeing that he no longer needs to be the butterfly that's pinned to the page, as Q put it. And so he could have those type of things, which is all good and well. I mean, I like this episode. I think for me, the weakest part simply is the resolution of Talon's storyline here. I like that she got to fulfill her purpose. I know that is something that we all strive to do, to fulfill our tasks, to fulfill our job. And this is something that she's been doing for decades, and she got to see it through to the end. It was interesting to note that she had in fact made some sort of a contact with Renee and saved her from drowning and gave her something to remember her by, and that how much she wanted to be seen there at the end. And then it was touching when she also made the remark, you know, she had beautiful eyes. So, you know, just kind of taking pride in this. It was kind of like a child at a distance for Talon when it came to Renee, and she got to see her grow up and do what she was always supposed to do.
Yeah. No, I thought that was good. And I liked when Q, or not liked, but, you know, when Q said this was the only timeline where Talon got to, you know, where she and Renee got to interact, I was like, oh, okay then. Because that would have, I think you're right, that is something that Talon wanted to do.
Right.
Well, if we're going to go in order, we've kind of discussed that. Actually, I'm going to jump ahead. Speaking of sort of fulfilling purposes, let's talk about that cameo by used to be Wesley and now is a traveler. Is Corey now the new Talon? Did he recruit right away a new replacement? What did you think about Wesley?
Well, we had guessed so many episodes ago that he was going to be the traveler that was going to be overlooking things here. And of course, that's not what happened. So it was a surprise because I was no longer thinking about a traveler showing up. But at the same time, if another one was, I guess it's not terribly surprising that it was Wesley. I liked it. I liked that bit. It was probably a fan service if you want to boil it down to it. But I thought it was cool that they managed to let us see him again after all this time, after all these other episodes of Star Trek. You know, he hadn't been around, and now he's here recruiting his next supervisor. I'm good with that. How about you?
I thought it was great. And I props to Will Wheaton, who sounded, and this is going to sound like an insult, so give me a second. Will Wheaton did an outstanding job sounding less like Wesley and more like the Traveler did when he was in those Next Gen episodes. That very zen enthusiasm, that very careful speech, that kind of quiet but slow. Like, it was, I was really impressed at how he thought through how Wesley would be as a traveler while also reminding fans of the Traveler. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And it just opens more opportunities too for storytelling, especially where they left this season. We could get this Corey character to come in and cause all kinds of confusion at some point if they wanted, with Soji in the quote unquote present for the Picard timeline. And I think Will did a great job as well. It was a fun moment, and kind of like when I made the comment about this kind of episode being a bit of an epilogue here, we didn't ultimately need to know Corey's fate for all this. It wasn't vital to the conclusion of the storyline, but this was a fun element to throw in there. So I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, no, me too. So what did you think about the downfall of Sung? And we'll talk about the drone plan. I just want to talk about the Corey deleting everything.
I enjoyed that comeuppance that, you know, he's sitting there, he's figured out he killed the wrong person when he used the neurotoxin on Talon disguised as Renee. And then we've seen the ship blast off, and we got to see Talon watch it. And then he's sitting there drinking again And it's when he finally like throws his glass into that shelf. And that's when Corey jumps in. I really like the way that that went down. He screamed and yelled at her as she was walking away. You're nothing without me. You don't get to walk away with me. I made you. And then she gets revenge for herself and her sisters. But then he opens up the file that says Khan on it. So I thought that was a neat way of tying this to Classic Trek as well. But what did you think?
I thought it was interesting because at this point, enough butterflies have been stomped that I guess Sung can be around. I'm assuming that Spiner will participate somehow in season 3. I would like a little less
been confirmed,
Sung.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like a little less Sung in my life, but you know, a girl takes what she can get, I guess. He was such the worst. I mean, I understand he killed Talon, but he was such the worst the whole time in that episode with like how he treated like that whole, like my money doesn't get me 5 minutes. Like he was such the worst that I don't know that I wished death for him. The idea that there's some like he's still going to meddle with this Project Khan thing, I was like, oh, just go away.
Well, okay. He is the worst. There's no doubt about that. But when it came to the donations I gave you don't give me 5 minutes of time with the astronauts, I thought that was him clearly putting it on, not Brent Spiner putting it on, Soong putting it on to get away from his handler there.
Oh, so no,
that he
for
could
sure.
Go murder Renee. And then especially when he, you know, backed it up with like, you know, what a terrible attitude, what a defeatist attitude, you know, when she was talking about, oh, I never thought this day would come. And, you know, it's so disrespectful. Again, it was so that he could drop her and go do things on his own. But yeah, he's slimy. He's completely and terribly slimy. And the thought that Data at some point in the future, who's not a genetic offspring, but is technically an offspring when you think about it, because he's the creation of a descendant, that this guy could ultimately lead to Data. Oh, wow. This is kind of unsettling and upsetting in a way. But
so I asked you this question several episodes ago. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask it to you again. Based on what you know of the Soong lineage, do you look at Data differently?
No, I don't look at him differently. I don't think I do. I guess it's a little, I'm a little, I guess my reaction is I'm shocked by the Soong lineage more than anything, given what we know about Data and who he is. So these are the people that are responsible for that. That is surprising. I just don't know that I see Data any differently, but do you disagree or what do you think?
No, I think I think it's all too much clear now why Lore was built before Data.
Oh, okay. Good point.
Like they're like, oh, wait, maybe I should have made them a little less like me. Like, oh, yeah, maybe, dude.
Good point.
Do you think anything's going to come of the Project Khan file? I don't know. I think you can tell by my voice.
No, I don't think so. I mean, we know what comes of the Project Khan file. That story is told in the original series and in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And so if they wanted to do something, they could. I suppose there could be some reference to it in Strange New Worlds if they really wanted to do that. But I don't think it's necessary. I think it is a fun Easter egg to make all of us that are familiar with that story and, you know, sit back and go, ooh, you know, because we know what ultimately, you know, the Genics Wars and everything that comes out of that and how it leads to Spock's first death and then his return and everything that happened after that. So it's an interesting moment, but no, I don't think anything is necessarily going to come from it that we don't already know.
Fair. Because, yeah, if assuming, and that's where it gets weird in the Star Trek universe, because the eugenics war should have taken place in the 90s and already happened, and then you would have gotten that civil war. Yeah, the timeline's a little weird in Picard, or maybe
well,
because
that's
some
simply
of this thing has already happened. Yeah.
When you write something, and television was in a different age then, you know, whoever thought that we would still be watching Star Trek 50, 60 years later at that point. So that's one thing to tell a story like that back in the 60s and then have to sit there and, oh, we kind of need to retcon that a little bit now that we're in the 2020s.
Yeah, no, for sure. So you were heartbroken by Rio staying. You want to talk about that? Let's talk it through.
Well, I'm fine with it. I mean, you know, truthfully I am. It's you know, we guessed at this last week when we were talking about the Picard and the decisions he made. And I'm sorry, when we were talking about Rios and the decisions he made and this whole notion about, you know, Teresa not really being ready for him to leave. I mean, I think it would have been incredibly fun to get the potential for a spinoff Stargazer series with Rios as the captain. Now I'm holding out for a Stargazer spinoff with Seven as the captain. So yes, that's my next choice for all that. But it makes sense. They've laid that out for us all along, that he was either going to stay or it was going to be a tragic goodbye, or I guess she was going to come. But there was, it was, that was a big point that was going to have to get addressed there. And at least they got to inject some happiness into that. I mean, you know, it was a breakup of a family. He said that during, at the end of this episode, that, you know, I never really had a family until I met y'all. And so Rafi was heartbroken by it, but he gets to be someplace that he's belong. And then we get from, you know, we learn from Guinan later about all the good that he was able to do in our timeline. So it was fitting. But you, what did you think?
This is my one, like, I needed three or four more lines of dialogue, because Teresa says nothing in this episode other than like piece of cake.
Yeah.
But in one point, Rios is like, oh, I guess I should ask her. I'm like, could we? I mean, she says, I don't want you to leave, or I'm not ready for you to leave. And part of it in the last episode is, I'm not ready for this tech to leave. Like, I'm not ready for you and this tech to leave.
Sure.
But and I didn't,
let me interject for just a second. Up until Q surprised them and told them they were going back to the future, they had all just settled into this notion that they were stuck in the past. So do you think probably they had a conversation off screen that, well, now that I'm going to be here, I that was just, I guess, my thought on it.
That's what I mean. Yes. Do I think they had a conversation off screen? Yeah. Would I have liked to actually have sort of seen that? Yeah. And I know Star Trek isn't a rom-com, but a little more like, well, I'm glad you're here, and have a planning moment where, you know, because not only do we not have a conversation between Teresa and Rios where she says, come back to LA with me and we'll do this, we don't have a conversation between the two of them when Q says, well, now I'm going to send you back. Now you have this choice again. Now this option is back on the table. And those three never readdress this.
Okay. I guess I just see it a little differently, but I understand your point of view.
So, but I love this episode. And that's the thing. I mean, that's the only downside of this podcast is, like, I have to think about what I want to say about these episodes as opposed to go like, I don't think about this episode. It was great. It all went boom and had a happy ending. Like, half the sector didn't blow up, but we got to see a really cool gold energy blast, so I'm happy. Yay.
But apparently his staying behind is what allowed Q to bring Elnor back.
Yes, Elnor's back. That actually, we'll get there in a second, but that was more, in more detail. Well, no, we won't get there in a sec. We'll do it now. That was one of my favorite, like, you talked about fan service in this episode, but like the Excelsior somehow messing it up for everyone else is like such a like original series movie thing that I'm like, oh yeah, Excelsior. And then, you know, when it's Elnor on the bridge, like, I don't actually know what's going on right now. It's like, okay, yeah, that, you know, and they get it all fixed. And I like the way he and Rafi had a moment, like a really cool reunion moment. But then she's like, get your shields back, cadet. And he like snaps too. But he like smiles and snaps too. He's like, I can do this. I don't know. That was a really glorious couple minutes.
Yeah, I've heard that, I can't think of the actor's name, but he's not going to be in season three of Picard, which I'm fine with because he's a cadet and he's busy. He's been assigned to the Excelsior, so it wouldn't necessarily make sense to draw him into this story with the crew of the old Enterprise, you know, from the Next Generation and stuff like that. But we were all, I guess, bright. I mean, I really saw at the end of the last episode when he had been turned into an emergency combat hologram on La Serena, and he was carrying the key to unlock the ship around. And then they had that moment between him and Rafi. It was that moment of closure, which was, I have his last thoughts, and they were not of guilt or blame. They were thoughts of love when Elnor died. that that was going to be the closure moment. So getting him back here, to me, was unexpected. Even just kind of the that comment that Q made, you know, oh, there's enough energy left for a surprise. I didn't see necessarily that being the resolution. But I do like the way that that turned out, and that, you know, everyone really did get returned to where they were at the time that they got snatched out of the present and sent to that alternate past. So it definitely worked.
Yeah, no, for sure. So talking about cast, not only is Elnor not going to be back, but apparently the friendly Borg queen, if what actors say about what they're doing is to be believed. And, you know, as a Spider-Man fan, I've been burned many times. Mm-hmm. But Allison Pill said she wasn't going to be back. Isa Brone, I think is how you pronounce it, who plays Soji and Corey, is not going to be back. So it looks like of the team, we've got Rafi and Seven have been confirmed. And I don't know that we have heard anything about the woman who plays Laris, Orla Brady. So let's just assume we've got Seven, Rafi. Let's go with the confirmed people. Mm-hmm. So that's Picard, Seven, Rafi, and then, you know, the next gen guys. You good with that?
I guess so. I mean, I don't know what the story is for next season other than what we got in that brief teaser. Up until you said what you just said there, I'd forgot that Pills is not coming back. And I half expected next season to be dealing with whatever it is that is the threat that created this trans warp conduit that the Borg showed up to help prevent destroying the sector there. But, and so the Borg wanted provisional, you know, their admission to the Federation so they could be the guardians at the gate there. But so is that not going to be the story of next season? Whatever this threat is that just created this trans warp conduit, is that going to be left to be discussed and fleshed out elsewhere? I don't know. But I would have expected the Borg and her to play a big role in that. I could see why Elnor would not be back, because like I said earlier, he's a cadet on the Excelsior. His job is somewhere else. And why would you necessarily pull a cadet off for some other mission? I could see potentially Seven getting promoted full time to captain of Stargazer, or something happening along those lines, that now she's got a role in Starfleet. So it would make sense for that to happen, especially if there was going to be this like need to liaison with the Borg after they've come back and now have some sort of provisional membership. And of course, Rafi is as close as it comes, is kind of like an aide to Picard. So that totally makes sense for her to be around as well. So I guess I'm fine with the way that plays out. I just would be curious to see what our storyline is for next season, what that mystery is that draws Picard back in and causes him to round up the old gang.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I guess theoretically they could go into the transwarp conduit. I mean, there could be a sort of exposition dump in which you don't, you know, you see the Borg ship, but mm-hmm. you never see her. And then they go through the transwarp conduit. Sure. And that still is the story of the third season, because...
Yeah, but is that not just like another version of the wormhole in Deep Space Nine, or Voyager being sent to the opposite side of the galaxy? They're smart people. They tell good stories, but I feel like that almost would seem repetitive of two other entire series that they've done.
I would think to some extent it would be awfully repetitive of season two. Like, they go alone into a place they haven't been and they don't know if they can get back.
Yeah, right.
But to your point, we're not in the writer's room. We're just doing a podcast.
We're just talking about the finale of season two. We haven't even got to season three.
Ugh, what do we know? We know nothing about nothing. So I do want to talk about the drone plan, because I really did like Seven, Rafi, and Rios and Sung's house at playing with the... I like those three together, and I think I'm a little... As much as I agree with you that it's fine that the three of them are not going to be back together, I did enjoy their interplay, so I'm a little sad that we're not going to get that in season three. Mm-hmm. But I did enjoy... just Rios having an excellent good time slamming those drones together after Rafi had gotten the manual control back. What did you think, though? Was that fun?
It was fine. You know, it almost felt like it was to give them something to do.
Oh, for sure.
As opposed to it was a necessity, a part of the plan there. You know, so they arrive and they show up, and then it was fun to see their banter while all that is going on, and how they need control. And it's just when Rafi's about to give up and she cuts some wire that finally she gets the override that she needs and allows Rios to take over the drones and knock them out. I liked it for what it was it gave us that opportunity, one more chance for the banter between the three of them. The scene itself was just fine. Other than that, in my opinion, not sure that we really needed it for anything in the story, but to kind of give us a little bit more of that impact at the end of the episode when everyone's saying their goodbyes.
Yeah. Well, so speaking, as you said, this was sort of a long setup for an epilogue. Let's talk about that epilogue. So we see while Rios 7 and Rafi are just packing up tech, I think they're probably, burying it in the backyard or blowing it up or whatever they're going to do with all the butterflies.
Yeah.
Picard puts the skeleton key where he found it as a child so that he can set up that whole thing. And here's Q, who I believe says Bravo.
Yep.
And Q is in the solarium. I loved this scene so much between Picard and Q. And the whole idea that every god has a favorite and Picard is his, and that, you know, because there's always been that element. Like, on one hand, Picard wants to, like, pull a Sisko and punch Q in the face. On the other hand, he spends a lot of time, like, thinking, you know, just kind of what does Q want? Like, they do have a very complicated friendship isn't right, but I'm not sure what their relationship is, but I like it quite a bit. What did you think about all those, that bit?
It always seemed like Picard was Q's favorite plaything up until this season of Picard. I mean, through Next Generation, it was kind of like, oh, I'm going to go torment my pet, is what Q was always doing here. But, and Q says it here, it's like, you know, now that he is, you know, he's going away, as your parlance, I'm dying, is, you know, essentially what he says. And he's doing it alone. That's not what he wants for Picard. But he knows the only way that Picard is going to get over that is to forgive himself so that he won't die alone. And because it's an interesting angle, because I feel like it's really been, I don't want to say artificially created for this season of Picard. I just don't know that that was really the way that I saw Picard viewing himself prior to this season, that he was carrying this burden. He was carrying this torment. But okay, not everything that goes to Picard's head has to be knowledge for the fans. Q knows his mind better than we do. And so it was touching that Q would say to him, you know, like, you're one of my favorites. I don't want you to end up the way I'm going to end up. So I gave you the opportunity so that things could be better for you. Because isn't that what we want for our children? I mean, we want them to have a better opportunity than what we had. We don't want them to fall necessarily prey to the same mistakes that we did. And it's not like Q could just sit Picard down and say, it wasn't your fault. He had to put him in a position where he was doing what he does best and he could work it out for himself. I mean, that's kind of what therapy is, right? I mean, they give you an opportunity to give you the chance to make those revelations on your own so that you believe them. And that's what he did. And so when Picard hugs Q at the end of this episode, if it hadn't been for this journey, that would have been completely unbelievable. But Q's getting an opportunity. Q gave Picard a gift, and Picard is realizing what he did for him in his dying days. So I liked it. It was very, very touching. It was heartbreaking. It was a lovely gesture.
Yeah. No, I could watch those two talk. I could watch a whole season of those two just talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I might be one of the few who could do that. Anyway, so I did like Rafi's response, Rafi and Seven's response to Q very much. Because Picard does sort of underpresent that. Like, oh yeah, we've got good news. Let's take you out into the garden, surprise you with Q. I was like, maybe you ought to prep them a little more for that.
Yeah, I don't know if he thought that they wouldn't do it. If they knew, you know, that Q would be trying to trick them, but once they're confronted with Q, what can you do? So, but what was it? Seven putting an arm on Rafi and is like, let's see what he has to say, because she was about to kill him.
I did like that. Like, technically, it was the other her's husband. I was like, Q, not the time, babe. Not the time.
That's so good for him, though.
I know, he enjoyed that so much. It reminded me of the Strange New Worlds, like, and technically we didn't touch the comet. I'm like, Pike, no, hon. Yes, but no. Anyway, so yes, because Rafi decides to stay, or I'm sorry, because Rios decides to stay, Q has enough energy to bring back Elnor, which seemed to be somebody he had forgotten, which I was like, oh dear. But, and we get, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you, who do you think he did that for, bringing back Elnor?
I mean, I think he did it for Picard as much as he did it for Rafi. I don't think he's particularly, I mean, you know, that's the play thing of the play thing.
Yeah, I don't have a definitive answer one way or the other, but I mean, he did all this for Picard. And it's not like he had any parental loving feelings towards anybody else that was in that situation. Or maybe he was in death, that it softened him on that. So I don't know. I was just curious if you had any other insight into that, but I think I'm with you. I think he did that more for Picard than anybody else.
Yeah. I mean, cause Picard, when he's talking to Q, you know, like, oh, Q's like, well, you fixed all that, you know, all that death is fixed. And Picard's like, not Elnor or Talon. And like, he was like, oh, oh yeah. So I think, I don't know that Q felt guilt over it, but I do think it was like, well, you're going to go back and get Laris if you've been paying any attention to this lesson of this entire season. So yeah, we'll give you Elnor back, kind of I think it was fixing the death.
Right.
So they get back to the Stargazer just in time for the auto-destruct. I was glad that the bridge kind of acknowledged that Captain Rios had suddenly disappeared, and that was kind of weird. You know, I understand that Picard just basically barked, you know, focus. People are disappearing off the ship. I'd like to not focus on that. Thank you very much. But let's talk about the giant space thing that might destroy the sector. I mean, it looked like a gold black hole. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it was an energy buildup that was coming through. And as Picard and Girardi, Borg Queen, put it, you know, she needed a friend in order to make everything work out the way she wanted, which was, you know, she needed to get a fleet there that they could harmonize all their shields to protect it from this blast. And I took it that the blast was the creation of the transwarp conduit. But if they hadn't done anything about it, that blast would have taken out the entire sector, which would have been a galactic catastrophe. So I don't know who's behind it. And like I was saying earlier, I don't know if that's even going to be the focus of season three of Picard, or if that story gets told elsewhere. I kind of feel like it has to be told somewhere at some point, because suddenly we've got Borg joining the Federation and they are the guardians at the gate. I would love to know what they're the guardians of the gate for. It would seem extremely unsatisfying if that does not get answered at some point in the future. I'm good with the conclusion of the season, because not everything has to be wrapped up, but it can't go on forever without telling us what happened there.
No, I agree. I just also think it's weird that, like, okay, so there was going to be this. So some species, some group has decided to build a transwarp conduit, and the transwarp conduit goes to a place that they've just blown up. Like, I don't understand what, I mean, and so I would be curious, like, I'm curious, like, what is that transwarp conduit for?
When she started talking about a threat, and she being the queen, Girardi, I immediately started thinking of those three-legged aliens from Voyager that were from fluidic space. But as soon as she said, we don't know who the threat is, it's like, oh, then I guess it's not them, because you would know if it were them. But I can't put my finger on any Star Trek species that was a threat that we've seen before that could possibly have done this. So I'm assuming it's going to be something new for us to explore at some point in the future. That's my guess.
Yeah, I have to admit, I got a lot of 10C DMA vibes from it, which
I would hope that whatever happens with that story, that they don't end up making us guess for an entire season without giving us much in the way of the clues, only to introduce something that we know had no chance of guessing all along. I would, if it's going to be something brand new, maybe clue us in a little bit more at the beginning, and then make the mystery something else as to why they are doing it or something like that. Because when they hold this information back from us, it is just kind of that lure, like, you guys aren't going to believe it when you see it. Well, why wouldn't I? Because I had no clue of guessing what it was in the first place. When you're talking about the, you know, the alien, you know, species 10C, or what the mystery was at the end of season 3 of Discovery as well. So I would rather be more of a mystery about their motives or something else than, you know, who it is if we have no chance of guessing it in the first place.
So I don't think they're going to puzzle box it the way in the season 3 of Picard, the way they have done it in the last couple of seasons of Discovery. But I did get this whole, like, unknown alien sending this huge, ridiculous tech that would destroy everything for reasons no one's clear on, which is a very Star Trek story. So, you know, that could be season 3 of Picard. And to your point, it could be a little more, you know, what their motivations are and how do we stop it? And, you know, what is going on with that species that they would want to have a transwarp conduit. It could be a lot of things. I mean, and if the whole point of these seasons are Picard gets a chance to correct the mistakes from the past, this could be some sort of kind of like our planet is dying and we need to get off, and Picard has a chance to basically redo the Romulan situation in a way that's better.
Well, and the thing that season 3 is going to have going for is it's got the camaraderie of the crew of the Enterprise D back.
And the giant fan service.
Yeah, well, sure it is, but how much fun is it going to be to do that one more time? And especially when we're not doing like a Nemesis type of a story or something. Is, you know, that I like that movie just fine, but as far as stories go, it just seemed like an unfortunate place to leave them. And so now they've got an opportunity to send them off on an adventure together. I think there's a lot of potential there, and I'm expressing a lot of concerns that at this point I have no reason to believe are actually going to happen, other than just based on what Star Trek's done elsewhere.
Yeah, no, I'm very optimistic and looking forward to season 3 of Picard for sure. So I do want to talk about, we kind of talked about all of that coming together. We talked about Seven, you know, becoming the captain. And that was, I did like that moment for her. And I liked the way she just kind of started taking over that way. Seven is an excellent leader. And the way she was, you know, tell Starfleet that we're, you know, that Picard is in active negotiations with the Borg, because otherwise they're going to blow us up. And that kind of way that she was just kind of dealing with things, I really liked for her. But yeah, so they get that all figured out. And they go drinking, as one does when they have saved the sector. And Guinan, Whoopi Goldberg Guinan is there, and I kind of liked that moment. I don't know that if you had said, oh, and at the end, Picard's going to see Guinan again, and they're going to chat about, you know, and Guinan's going to do that, well, I knew the whole time sort of thing. I don't know that I would have told you I would have loved that. But I actually really did like it. What did you think about the bar scene and having Guinan back?
I liked it. It was a fun conclusion to this episode where she got to tell them about Rios and Teresa and what Ricardo did about using the alien form that Auntie Renee found to put together a team that cleaned the oceans, cleaned the air. That was a neat development. And again, just this newfound family that Picard got the toast. Eleanor didn't like whatever it was that he got a shot of. I'm assuming it was some sort of whiskey.
But like Seven and Raffi knew it was going to be horrible when Picard brought it. So I was like, oh, don't drink that, dude.
But I thought it was fitting. It's one of those things where I'm not going to think about it too much, because Picard knew who Guinan was in her past before she knew who he was. But then in the future, she knew who he was before he knew so who met who first when it really came down to it. And that seems like one hell of a logic puzzle that I am just not going to devote a whole lot of energy to.
No. It would require, you know, one of those whiteboards and string and push pins, and you don't want to go down that road.
Right.
It's too weird. Just, you know, wave your hands and say time travel and move on. That's what you're supposed to do with that. So Picard goes back to Laris, who has fixed up the Solarium and is about to go on adventures of her own. And Picard, I guess, asks for a second chance, sort of.
Yeah, I got the impression that he took that step toward her and she started to smile, and he said something along the lines of like, time doesn't give us second chances, but people can, which I think she knew what that meant, that he was essentially asking her to stay. And
was he asking her to stay, or are they going to go off on adventures together?
I don't know.
I'm assuming since the Salarian's been fixed up and they're there at Chateau Picard that she was going to stick around. She was only going to leave because he kind of rebuffed her advance, I suppose, is the way to say it in the first place. So
that's fair. Okay.
Yeah.
What else you want to talk about? We sort of speculated on season three and we have determined that we know nothing. That we liked the episode. We liked this. What did you think of the season as a whole? Let's do that. Just final thoughts on the season.
I liked it. I think it's, I'm glad that they kept it to the 10 episodes because I think they had just enough story for 10 episodes. If they had tried to go the 13 or four, you know, that traditional half season with 13, I think this would have dragged out and we would have gotten really frustrated by the end of it. But for the most part, things kept moving. It wasn't until around episode 7 or 8 that it maybe felt like it needed to really work harder at concluding its story, but it was fun. I mean, it seemed like it lost a little momentum. We were just so blown away by the first couple episodes of the season. And then it kind of settled into the story that was in the past. And so it wasn't quite as engaging at that point, but overall, I think it was really strong.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I know, and I don't know all the details, but I know that in some of the middle episodes, there's been talk about how that was kind of impacted by COVID and what scenes happened in what order. And you can definitely see a universe where what happens in some of the middle episodes are presented in a different order to maybe stronger effect. But I agree. I really liked the second season. I really like, you know, I've said it on multiple occasions. I will say it multiple more times. I am a fan and I am fine being serviced. You know, fan service makes me happy because that's exactly what it's designed to do.
To your point, fan service isn't necessarily a bad thing by itself. I guess it's just how it's presented. If we're throwing in something for a show for no absolute reason, then, you know, fans go, oh, there it is. Well, okay, that's funny when it's a cameo in Lower Decks. But when you're having a show like Picard, which is supposed to have a little bit more seriousness to it, for lack of a better term, you have to be careful with how you use the fan service. And I think they did a great job with it. This turned out really well. I like the way that they brought so many different things together from across Star Trek to tell the story.
No, I agree. I mean, I certainly don't think the Picard well is dry by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, and Star Trek is its own place. You know, that's, that well is never going to go dry. So yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I don't, like I said, I don't mind. Before we go, I want you to speculate on who Brett Spiner is going to play in season three.
Well, my wish is that the Data memory would somehow get put into a computer, into another Android or synthetic being droid or like that, and that we'd have that character there. Absent that, I'm assuming it's whatever Soong was around at the end of season one. But do you have any other guesses?
I don't, because I'm sort of with you. Like, Lore, I think, is not supposed to be around. Data is, of course, not supposed to be around. So maybe there's a Soong, but I would love it to be either Data or Lore. I'd be fine with it even being Lore.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think that's our conclusion, unless there's any last final thoughts you wish to share.
Nope, I think we got it.
All right, cool. Well, then that will conclude our discussion of season 2, episode 10, Farewell, as well as the entire second season of Picard. But we will be back soon with a discussion of different Star Trek, Strange New Worlds come to mind, and season 3 of Picard when it comes. But before we go, Dennis, where can our listeners find us?
Sure. You can find us on Twitter at Warp Trails, and you can find us on Facebook at Warp Trails Pod. And we can also be reached on the RetroZap Discord server. And you can talk Star Trek with us in the Warp Trails room. But if there's anything else you want to talk about from all the different geekery sections of the universe, whether it's Star Wars, MCU, DC, or that, we've got rooms for that over there as well.
That's true. There is always somebody talking about something, whatever it is that you want to talk about. Our show is part of the RetroZap Podcast Network. Head on over to RetroZap.com for other great podcasts covering everything from collecting, video games, superheroes, Star Wars, and more. Dennis, you want to plug your other podcast?
Sure. So I do have a Star Wars podcast called Podcast Stardust, which I host with Jay Krebs. You can find us 3 times a week, and we are available on your podcatcher of choice. And you can over to RetroZap.com, where you can also find more of Podcast Stars there as well.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, everyone. Live long and prosper, and we'll talk to you next time.